Good morning. Can you hear me? Yes. Am I switched on?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now afterwards. Hey. Okay, good. Really wonderful to be here. Thank you, Kim, for the kind words. It really is a privilege for us to be here and also to hear the wonderful things that God is doing here in Tana and all across Madagascar. So we also give towards this church, and we are with you partners in the wonderful work that you are doing here, and it really is a privilege for us. Great. So if you could open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, we're going to read from verse 7. Chapter 30, verse 7. Okay, let's start. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Here are the two things. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. So let's pray. Father, we ask your Holy Spirit that you would speak to us, that you would open up this word to every one of us, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to see the things that you want us to respond to, Lord. We say, come and move unhindered, uninhibited in this place. We pray that, Lord, above everything else, Lord Jesus, that you may be exalted, you may be glorified, you may be lifted in this place to the glory of the Father, we pray. Amen. Now, this book really was written by the richest and the wisest man of his time. Now, a man who could have anything. And as I was preparing for this, I wondered to myself, what if God came and asked me, said, you can have anything? What would I say? What would I ask for? What if God had tonight come to you and say, you can have anything you want? What would you ask for? And I started imagining myself like King Solomon to think, as he was sitting and thinking about this thing, sure, should I ask for money? Should I ask for great authority and power? You know, maybe victory over my enemies. You know, what should I ask for? And at the end, we know he asked for wisdom, and God was delighted with that. Because, you know, friends, isn't that the thing that helps us to live a good life, to live the life that God has called us to be a man or a woman of wisdom and discernment? Amen? Isn't one of the things that the Holy Spirit does? He helps us. He instructs us, He guides us in the ways of God. So if God had to ask you, what do you want? What would you choose? You see, Solomon had a great deal to say about many topics, and as Kim said, the one I want to look at today is, what does Proverbs say briefly? I mean, it's such a wealth of wisdom in this book. But briefly, what does it say about topics such as giving and poverty and righteousness and wisdom? And I want to look at this issue of wealth. Why? So that we can understand, what is the Bible's view on finances? What's the Bible's view on money and things like it? Now, if you look in the New Testament especially, you'll see that Jesus had a lot to say about finances. Amen. You know, probably a quarter, if not more, of what he said, some say even a half of what he said, was related to finances and stewardship and things like that. So really, it is an important topic, isn't it? Isn't it that, as we say, money is what makes the world go round? It really isn't, but that's what we say, hey? So let's talk about money. Why money? Because let me say firstly, there's nothing that reveals where your heart is at than the way that you handle money. Amen? You see, money tells us whether whether we have a generous heart or whether we have a stingy heart. And we represent a generous God. Amen. I mean, it says, God so loved the world that He gave. He gave us His best. Like I said to the people earlier, God didn't say, let me pick that donkey with the wooden leg and the glass eye, the one that I don't really want. Let me give that to them. No, friends, God said, what is the best that I can give them? And it was His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And how much more should we, as His representatives, as the image bearers of God, not show this generous God to the world? You see, friends, the difference really comes between whether you see what you have as you are the owner, or whether God is the owner of these very things. So I don't know which one of you, when you were born, as you came out of your mother's womb, you had a big check, you know, checkbook or lots of money with you. Is there anyone like that here? No? No one. No. Because naked we came into the world, isn't it? And then when you depart, we go and we sell everything you have and we put it in a big money bag for you. And we put it with you in your grave so that you can go and spend it in heaven. You see, but somehow, friends, we can so easily grow attached to our stuff. And it actually limits the kingdom of God coming in and through us. You know, God doesn't have an issue with money. He owns everything. Everything belongs to Him. Amen? You see, friends, what He's after is a heart that belongs to Him. Is someone, like He says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, so you can be a blessing. And the reason God blesses us is so that we can, in return, be a blessing as well. So the question I want to answer today is whether you have things or whether things have you. So do you have things or do those things have you? And I know all of us, of course, we are so holy. No, it's all the Lord's stuff. Until I want to have it, then suddenly, no, it's my stuff, hey? You know, I laugh, we've got this one guy, he's got this very nice holiday home, and he says, no, it's the Lord's house, but the moment you want to ask, can I go stay there, no, it's my house. So yeah, okay. So the Bible says, firstly, that everything belongs to God, everything. Even my children, my spouse, everything belongs to God. And actually that we are only stewards of those things. Now maybe God has entrusted many things to you, praise Him. Maybe He's trusted little things to you, praise Him. Because friend, it doesn't matter how much you have. What matters is what do you do with what you have. Amen? We see the story of Jesus sitting at the temple and people were coming to bring their offerings to the temple. And some people there were throwing huge amounts of money in the offering. And then came this widow, and she came and she put 2 coins in the offering. What does Jesus say? What does she say? Is that it? No. Is that the best she can do? No. He says, she has given more than all the other people. Why? Because she gave out of her poverty, she gave what she had. Amen? He says the others contributed out of their wealth. You see, Scripture refers to money as the little thing. It's a little thing. We have made it the big thing. Like we say, how much is that guy worth? Amen? Or we say, that guy is rich and that guy is poor. Based on what? On finances? No, my friends, that is not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God, we have value not because of money, whether I have or don't have. We have value because we are made in the image of God. Because we have Jesus, because we belong to Him. That is what makes us, you know, what makes us valuable. So money is the little thing. It's just the doorway. It says, let's see if you can be faithful with this little thing. So then God said, great, so I can entrust true riches to you. Amen. Now, most people have wrong views about money, and we have two groups of people, really. We've got the one group who says money is always good. And then we have the another group who say money is always evil. Okay. The first group says, well, when I have lots of money, surely it must be proof of God's approval on my life. Surely God must be happy with me. It could be, but not always. And when I have little, it must be because God is angry with me. Isn't that what we believe? Okay, only the guys in South Africa, not the people here. So, well, if this is true, then God must have been very unhappy with Jesus and his disciples, or with Paul. Amen? You see, friends, God does not have a problem with money. We often can look at the story of the rich young ruler and say, well, God has an issue with people with money. But the problem is we should continue to read, because the story doesn't end there. Because just a little bit later, we have another wealthy guy called Zacchaeus, where the kingdom of God comes. So we have the rich young ruler who resists the kingdom, and we have Zacchaeus who accepts the kingdom. The one walks away sad, but the other one gives away a huge amount of his money. So don't be scared. We're not going to take up another offering, eh? Okay. See, some guys are starting to look very nervous here. Then we have the second group that say that money is always evil. They think it's so spiritual. Let us sell everything. Let's make some clothes of grass. And go live in a cave somewhere and eat some locusts, because I'm so spiritual. Because, you know, I don't want that evil money thing to come close to me. Let's rather trade in, I don't know, bricks or food or something. That is also wrong. You see, because when Jesus says, do not store up treasure in heaven, Thank you, yeah, that would have been a huge problem, eh? When Jesus says, do not store up treasure on earth, he continues to say, but store up treasure in heaven. Amen. I don't know if you've ever read the story of the shrewd manager. And this is a man, you know, he's not been faithful with what has been entrusted to him. And then his master calls him and says, come, it's time. You've not been a good steward. I want you to go and settle all the accounts. This is it. And the guy thinks by himself, I'm in trouble. Because I'm too lazy to work, and what am I going to do? So he thought, let me do this. So he goes to the first guy, says, listen, how much oil do you owe my master? And the guy says, you know, I'm paraphrasing now, please, you can go read the story. Says, maybe 500 bushels of oil. Says, okay, just write your 200. And the other guy, how much do you owe my master? He says, no, I owe him so much. Great, just write down here. And then Jesus commends that guy. Why? Because he used his influence and the opportunities that he had to secure a better future for himself. Amen? And then he says, how much more should the children of the light, us, the believers, the children of God, use our money, our opportunities, our influence in this world to secure a better future in the life to come? Amen? You know, Martin Luther says that stewarding money is like horse riding. You know why? Because if you've ever seen someone doing horse riding, or you've done it yourself, the idea is to stay on the horse. Amen. It's sort of advised. Okay. Because if you try and ride like this, you're soon going to fall down there. You see, the last time I started like this, but I ended up like that. But anyway. Or if you ride on this side, you'll also fall off. Now we have these two sides. On the one side, we have materialism, where I pursue money and what, that's my only ambition. That's wrong. That's falling off the horse on the one side. But the other side, saying, I want nothing to do with money and these things, you're falling off on this side. So the idea is to stay on the horse. Because as I said earlier, the biblical view is not whether money is good or evil. It's rather, what are you doing with what has been entrusted to you? Amen? Because one day God is going to come, and he is coming back soon, And he's going to say, well, I've given you these things. What have you done with it? Have you been faithful? Have you brought increase? Oh, Lord, but you know, I wanted more. You know, I went to ShopRite and they had that big TV. And I know, you know, you wanted me to contribute to that trip, but you know, Lord, at least I can watch Christian TV on it. Or I get some money from a relative and things. Yeah, you know, but then I see this new car. Or, you know, we've always wanted to upgrade, you know, our kitchen or buy some new things. You know, Lord, you know, God will understand, you know. No, my friends. And again, there's nothing wrong with those things. The question is, are we a generous people? Amen? You see, friends, money is not evil. Like I said to the guys this morning, who's ever been attacked by a 10,000 ariary bill? You know, it's lying there in your house, beautiful morning like today. You're walking and suddenly this thing jumps on you and starts strangling you. Ever happened to anyone here? Okay, that's good to hear. Okay, because then I don't want to go visit at your house. Sorry. It's dangerous there. You see, money is not evil. This money here, I can take it and I can give it to the purposes of God. Even my two coins in the hands of Jesus, as we saw with the five loaves and the two fish, he can feed a multitude. Amen? Or I can use this money for something bad. You know, this is a story about this drug dealer who came to Christ. A man who used money for wicked means. And as he came to Christ, he decided to take a huge amount of his money. I think it's 10 or more. Of it, take a huge amount and just gave it to the church, to the purposes of God. And what happened was, you know, his old life started to catch up with him, and he eventually ended up bankrupt with nothing because he couldn't make money by dishonest means, or didn't want to anymore. And what happened was his friends came to say, hey, yes, you're probably sorry you gave that money away, hey. Imagine you could have, you know, gave it, you could have had some money now. He says, you know, the money I gave is the only money I have. Amen? You see, friends, one day we would stand before God and we would think back, say, yes, I should have given more. I could have given more. Amen? And this is not to try and manipulate you, make you feel bad. This is, we have to respond to God. God says, I want a cheerful giver. I don't want someone, as they come around to give the offering, they have to pull the money. You know, guys have to pull me back and try and get the money out of my pocket. Now, God delights in a cheerful giver because God is a cheerful giver towards us. Amen. So money is neutral. And you know what? We live in a world that measures everything by money, isn't it? That guy's rich, that guy's poor. Based on what? Based on money? No. That's not how the kingdom of God works, friends. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? So it ultimately doesn't come down to how much you have. If you've got little or much, doesn't matter. There's actually a greater responsibility on those with much to be generous. Amen? To be generous to the things of God. So let's quickly look at what does Proverbs say about money and how we should respond to it. Firstly, we should honor the Lord first. We should honor God first with our finances. We should prioritize our giving to Him first. Okay. It says, honor the Lord with your first fruits, with your increase, the substance of your increase. Honor Him first. So if you want to know what to do with your money, the first part belongs to God. Amen. You see, God will bless people materially who give to Him first. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And when it comes to money, we need to put God first in our lives. He's the first one we pay our money to. Not after I've spent and bought all the things I want, then I try and say, okay, how much is left? Okay, it's a little bit. Let me tip God a little bit. No, friends, no. We give God our best. We give Him our first. Second thing, if you could have anything like Solomon, What would you ask for? Wisdom is more important than money. Wisdom often brings enduring wealth. Chapter 8, you know, should I give the references or just give it? You can. Chapter 8, verse 18. Wisdom yields better fruit than money. 8, verse 20. Wisdom enables one man enables one to rightly use money. 17, 16. Wisdom gives one proper restraint in the pursuit of money. You know, the thing that would protect you from a stingy heart is generosity. It's an open hand. Amen? Ask God for wisdom. We need to ask Him, Lord, how should I use this money? And yes, He's helped us to say, we bring the tithe to the storehouse. He says, and now our free will offerings, we give it, we all these different things. But ask God for wisdom. You know, what farmer, you know, just takes some seed and throws it, you know, everywhere, hoping it's going to get a crop? Is that a good farmer? No. No, a farmer, he goes and he looks, where's good soil? Where's good soil that I can give into? I mean, if I look for us as a church highway, to give into this church is good soil. Good soil. And we're expectant of a reward. We're expectant of a great fruitfulness here through you into this place. You know, and even, you know, already we are being blessed, you know, because of it. Third one, righteousness is more important than money. Again, I'm highlighting, what does Proverbs say about money? It says, it's more important to be righteous than to have money. You see, righteous people can have great riches that involve no money. Chapter 15, verse 6. A poor but blameless man is better off before God than a rich but a perverse man. Says 28, verse 6. You see, God often rewards the righteous with money. If you, you know, let's say you come to me and you give me, I say, listen, man, would you mind just borrowing me your radio? And you give me your radio, and when you get it back, I give you a few things, a box full of parts. You know, I'm like, really, thank you, man. You know, thank you for your radio. Are you, and next time when I say, listen, can I borrow your car? You're going to give it to me. No, no, no. You see, and how much more, you know, why would God give something more to you if you're not faithful with what He's given you? You see, we often, instead of desiring all these things, we should rather be faithful with what we have and let God bring the increase. Let God come and give you more things when the time is right. So handle your money as someone who is going to give an account. Amen? Because there's a reckoning coming. And God is going to say, I've given you these things. And here's the problem, as Peter says, God is impartial. So don't think because, you know, I was born in Madagascar on an island, God must love me more. I've got blue eyes. God loves those with blue eyes, you know. I'm a pastor's kid. Surely God must favor me. No, my friend, God is impartial. And that's a good thing. Amen? He treats us all the same. He's a righteous God who treats us. And actually, the amazing thing is, He treats us far better than we deserve, isn't it? But let's handle our money as people who are going to give an account. Let's be wise with our finances. Let's be wise how we give it, like a wise farmer, you know, farming and working and doing it in good field. Next one, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing God is more important than money. Chapter 15, verse 16, fearing God is better than a lot of money. Humility and the fear of God often leads to the acquisition of money. So do we fear God? Not running away, hiding from God, but we realizing this, I'm a steward of God's things. And He's going to ask me to give an account one day of those things. Another one, it's hard work and diligence that usually leads to greater wealth. You see, we can easily find this theology as Christians, well, let's just be still and let God be God. If God wants me to work, He will bring a job to me. If God wants to give me stuff, He will bring it. People come knock on my door and bring me stuff. So what are you saying, George? Are you saying that I will be rich if I work hard? Well, what I'll tell you is you won't be wealthy without working hard. Amen? Hard work is a good thing. It's a good thing to put your head on your pillow at night. Say, sure, I've put in a good day today. Amen? Diligent people, in contrast to lazy people, often have more money. Chapter 10, verse 4. All hard work brings a profit, whereas mere talk accomplishes nothing. Have you heard of those talkers? They always talk. Yeah, talk. I'm going to do this deal and that deal and things. And once they've talked about all these deals, sorry, can I get some money from you? Okay. Acquiring wealth takes diligent planning. Anything less may end up in ruin. You see, friends, it's good, as Solomon tells us in Proverbs, it's good to plan. You know, it's often been said, those who aim at nothing hit it every time. Amen? It's good to plan. You know, it says, man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. God determines the outcome. It's a good thing to plan, especially for your financial future, to plan and to depend upon it, to have a plan and to bring our plans before God. Somehow we think when it comes to Christianity and God, we don't have to plan. It's a good thing to plan. Recognize the limitations of money. Unlike popular belief, you cannot buy yourself into heaven. Amen? You cannot pay God off. Well, you've really messed up, but it's okay, God. Here's a suitcase full of money. I'm sure that will settle the problem, won't it? No. We can't do it. You see, friend, money can do nothing to deliver someone from the wrath of God. 11 verse 4. Money is very temporal and lasts but for a short time. 23 verse 5, 27, 24. And money cannot be trusted, for it will lead to one's downfall. Trust rather in God. Be sober about money. Keep it in perspective. We see the beautiful story about Abraham and Lot. Abraham pursued God, but Lot pursued wealth. He pursued money. He pursued to do those things. And at the end, who was the one that was better off? Abraham or Lot? Definitely Abraham. I'm almost done. Recognize the potential for good that money properly used can have. You see, I've often heard people say, you know, I want to be this great businessman for Jesus. And I'm going to make so much money for Jesus and things, and I'm going to give away 90% of my money and all these type of things. I'm like, okay, how much are you giving away now? Now, I'm not giving yet, but I'm going to give 90%. Well, my friend, if you're not giving even 10% now, you will not give 90% then. You know, I was shocked when I was still in business. You know, I would say eventually, I was looking, Lord, I want to give more. How can I give more? And I started to give out of my business and all of these things until the big deals really came in. Suddenly, I have to be wise now. Surely the Lord would not expect me, you know, to give all of that. And I was gripped. I was disappointed by my own heart. How quickly it changed. Amen? You see, friend, we will forever have this traitor standing at the gate of our hearts. And the greater test is not poverty. The greatest test is success. You know, I've often seen many of my friends who have pursued these things ending up lukewarm, away from God. They've got lots of money, but so what? It means nothing. So money can do lots of good. It can be left as an inheritance. And it says here, for your children's children. Who here is thinking about leaving an inheritance for their children's children? Or are you just happy to make it, and then let's hope your children make it, you know, from here? Proverbs 31:18, an industrious wife can make sufficient money to help her family. Ladies who are faithfully stewarding and working well with the finances. You see, friends, the better you work with the money, the more you have to give for the purposes of God. Amen. Money have often been the cause of many relational breakdowns. I know in my own family, how money has destroyed relational relationships. And if money is the thing that you're holding on to, it eventually ends into massive breakdowns. Be careful of people who desire your friendship because of money. Because suddenly now you have a lot of things, and now you have to make sure, does this person really like me, or are they after my money? You know, things like that. Okay. The poor person can often see through the facade of a rich person who thinks he knows it all. Suddenly, because you think you've got lots of money, suddenly people must ask you for advice because you must be very clever as well. And suddenly you think you're superior in every way, isn't it? Okay, of course it doesn't happen here again, as I say. The rich and the poor must remember that God made them both, and humility is the order of the day. Giving generously often leads to acquiring further wealth and spiritual benefits, but poverty awaits the stingy. Money gained by unjust means leads to troubles, whereas the blessing of the Lord brings no sorrow. Let me end with this. What are you striving for in this life? And what are you content with? You know, I started, here's Solomon, Mr. Wealthy, Mr. Wise, saying, Lord, don't give me too much that I'll forget you, and don't give me too little that I have to steal and dishonor your name. And Paul says, through this life, I have learned to be content. So here's the thing. What are you striving for? You see, so often in the world, and unfortunately in the church, we are striving, like the world, for the things of the world. We are striving for promotion and finances and all of these things. But we're content with our spirituality. Amen? Where Paul, rather, he was striving to be like Christ. He was striving to grow, to mature. And he was content with his lot in life. Amen? He was happy with what God gave him. He was faithful with that. And as he was faithful, God brought him increase. God did those things. But that wasn't his focus. That was like an add-on, the bonus. What was important was this, to strive after these spiritual things. You see, a biblical view of money begins, as I said, with a commitment to God firstly. And maybe some of us need to say, Lord, you know, I've been rather trying, so, I was being so busy trying to think, how am I going to spend this money and do this stuff on myself, forgetting that it ultimately is about you. And it must. Then we must keep in mind that wisdom, righteousness, and the fear of God are more important than money. You only have to lose money to realize how quickly it goes. I remember me and my wife, we were at a time where the only thing we had, and it was my own foolishness, silly decisions I've made, I tried this new venture and things like that, and the only thing we had was, peanut butter and bread. That was it. But I wanted to say, Lord, I want you to reveal yourself to me through this thing. And it was our anniversary, and I said to her, come, you know, said, Lord, would you give us 500 rand so I can take my wife out and we can enjoy our anniversary? And we were like, yeah, whatever, you know, what's the chances of this happening, okay? Later that afternoon, 6 o'clock, I said to my wife, come, get dressed, we're now going to go out. I mean, there was not a cent, okay? And there I get an SMS, someone has just put 500 rand in our account. No one knew, nothing. But those things, you see, those things, it's so taught me about the supernatural provision of God. Am I saying go sell all your stuff and eat peanut butter and bread? No, I'm saying we need to every day, look for opportunities to be generous. Look for opportunities to give. You know, we have some ladies who bake extra meal or make extra meals and keep it in the fridge. And when they hear someone is in need, they go and they ready to give the food. We have people, you know, some people, you know, every day they walk with 100 rand in their pocket. Lord, please speak to me. Tell me, who can I give this to today? Amen? So money, my friends, it's a little thing. It's a little thing. May we be known as a people who are generous, who give and look for opportunities, any and every opportunity. You know, King David What does he say? As he is about to bring an offering to God, and the God says, no, you can take it. Take, here's even cattle that you can go and sacrifice to the Lord. He says, I will not give to God something that does not cost me something. Amen? And that is the life that we should live. That is the life that I want to live. A life of sacrifice to God. A sacrifice pleasing to Him. A life of generosity towards Him for the generosity that He's given me. A life of contentment. Say, God, You know best. Give me wisdom to steward what You've given me well so I can bring glory to Your name. Amen. Okay. So I pray. I'm going to say something. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You that You love us too much to leave us the way we are, Lord. Lord, I want to thank You that You have given us this little thing called money, Lord, that we can use for Your purposes. Lord, I want to pray that this church may continue to grow in their generosity. This church may continue to grow in a heart of sacrifice, a heart of devotion to You, Lord. Lord, I pray even that some here will decide to give up certain things so they can give more to Your purposes. Lord, I pray that You would reward this church. I pray a greater blessing and favor upon everyone here. I pray truly, as Your word says, You say, test me in this. Test me and see if I will not pour out, open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much that there's not room enough to receive it. Lord, I pray, I thank You for already the generosity in this church. And I pray that You'll entrust much more to this church. Much more. That the people here will not be dams hoarding the things You've given them, but they will be like riverbanks, letting the river of God flow through their lives, through their finances, through their job, through their families, so that Your kingdom can be advanced in and through Madagascar, Lord. Bless the people, Lord. Make their efforts fruitful, Lord. Help them with a greater wisdom to be faithful with what You have given them, so that one day You will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with what You've entrusted to me. What I've entrusted to You, come now into the true riches which I've stored up for You. May it be, Lord, may we be a people who seek treasure in heaven, we pray, to the glory of Your name. Amen.